Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Pop Therapy.
Today's episode is brought to you by McDonald's, since we are currently waiting on our order from DoorDash.
Yeah, so if you hear us break in the middle of a conversation, that's why. We need to get our Big Macs and our fries.
Yep.
Big Mac for you, fries for me, because you know what? I've never actually had a I tried a McDonald's burger one time.
Wait, I'm just as shocked as the first time you told me this.
Yeah, and I hated it. I just like...
Are you nuts?
But I think my boyfriend always says that I got the wrong burger because I think I just got like a cheeseburger.
Oh yeah, you're a wet blanket when it comes to burgers.
No sauce, no condiments.
Like what the fuck?
I don't know if I asked them to add lettuce or I was really upset when lettuce didn't come with it. And I might have added bacon. But anyways, I was just like, this is underwhelming. What?
Okay, I think everyone listening to this knows that this is a you problem, not a McDonald's problem.
Oh, well, maybe, but you know.
So you've never had a Big Mac?
No.
Or a McChicken, a JC?
I've had a McChicken, I think. And I like the McChickens.
Yeah, okay, good.
But the Big Macs, like, they have so many things that I'd want to take off. Like, can you please remove the tomato? Can you remove the onion? Can you remove the pickles? Uh-huh. Can you remove the ketchup, mustard, whatever type of Big Mac sauce you put on there? I just want a burger, cheeseburger, with bacon, lettuce, cheese, and mayo. And that's it.
Why don't you just get a fucking chicken burger from M&M Meats and heat it up yourself?
Well, honestly, that's what I do because they just don't have what I like. They need to suit all people. Like, not everybody likes all the things.
My siblings and I were and are such fat asses. When we were younger, we would go through the drive-thru almost every night and get a McChicken with extra mayo. Mm. And we would get that sticker on the burger wrapper that said made especially for you with a receipt that said extra mayo.
Aww.
Yeah, you know, and I'm still trying to lose that weight, TBH.
The mayo from McDonald's does hit different.
It does. Same with the Sprite.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Why is it spicy?
Truly though, the mayo is spicy.
It is, but I know you don't agree with this, but I think that the most elite sauce is hot mustard.
Absolutely, I disagree.
Yeah, I know. I literally said that you're not going to agree. And I usually get an extra pack for my fries because those fries dipped in hot mustard is chef's kiss.
Did you order some for my fries?
No.
Bitch.
Why would I do that?
You're right. It'd be a waste.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get into this week's Hot Tops.
So did you know that Kim's skincare line is $630?
For the whole nine step pack?
Yeah.
Honestly, that doesn't like surprise me because I used to get that drunk elephant from Sephora. Yeah. And that whole thing, if you bought everything, it was that much, if not more. Like each item was like $100, so that doesn't really surprise me at all.
Did you ever use Proactive? Is that what
yeah,
it's called?
Of course.
Yeah, that was like
that was our first influencing experience.
For sure. It was like $60 for six steps and we were all like, oh my god, that's so much money. Yeah. And now one product is $60.
I wonder if Proactive still sells. Does Justin Bieber still advertise?
I don't know about that. He's probably busy dealing with Ramses.
You're right. Hope he's okay.
Same. Pray for Biebs.
So what's going on with Kim's skin?
Well, you know how she had that interview maybe a couple weeks ago where she was like, I haven't had any facial surgery.
Did she say surgery or she said like anything done to my face?
Anything done to her face, just Botox.
Okay.
So her skincare line is just being trashed by doctors after her Botox claims. That's pretty much all.
I suppose it is. But really, like when you look at old pictures of Kim, her face does look the same. Like
Nose didn't change. Like she got bigger lips, which does change how your face moves, mm-hmm. and like especially around your nose. So
she always had pretty luscious lips. Like I feel like it's makeup more than anything.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think that she got plastic surgery on her face.
I don't think so either. Like her face has remained the same as Chloe's that hasn't, but Chloe has said she's had surgery on her face.
Yeah, it's definitely the rest of their body that I'm like Did you see those pictures of Kim and Chloe in the water in their bathing suits? They literally look like twins, their bodies. I was like, how is this happening?
Chloe's body's insane.
It is insane.
I know it's a lot of surgery, but it's insane.
Totally insane. Like the fact that her and Kim have the exact like copy paste body right now.
Yeah.
Is insane given like the difference in their actual body types.
Yeah, I mean, she's much taller.
Exactly.
Well, speaking of Chloe, big, big news.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Like, how has it been?
And I was like, oh wait, no, it's settled in for a week.
How has it been? I feel like all these hot tops come on right after we record. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. This is the third episode now that we've done that.
We line up.
Yeah. Okay, so she is expecting another baby with Tristan Thompson.
Via surrogate.
Yes. So people need to listen up. This was obviously intentional and planned.
Totally.
They didn't have to have sex for this.
No.
People are thinking that she just went ahead and had another baby with him via sex, even though it says surrogate.
Oh my gosh.
Like, she didn't sleep with him.
Have you seen, like, she's been, what do these people think that? Have they not seen the picture of her in, like, 9 to 12 months?
Exactly. I mean, the headlines have been misleading, and obviously people who hate them are immediately going to jump on and be like, how right. is she so stupid?
Yeah, jump to the comments without but reading the article.
It's Chloe's expecting baby number 2 with Tristan Thompson
via?
Via? Surrogate. And they impregnated her in November. So November to May is 6 months. I know that because that's my half birthday. So what is it now? July. So it's 8 months. They said that they're going to have the baby like in the days to come.
Yeah, really soon.
But then here's the thing. They're saying that he impregnated the other woman in December.
Right.
But that's later.
No, I think they found out. No, they found out about it in December. He'd already done the whole shebang with like the paternity test. Remember, they were like way far
right,
away
right,
when
right,
they
right.
found out about that.
Right.
He was like in the court papers being like, it's not mine. I think the baby at that point wasn't born yet, but was going to be born. And then they did a paternity test after it was born.
I'm remembering episode 9 now where they found out in December that she was pregnant.
Yeah, so this baby via surrogate was conceived November 2021. The scandal hadn't happened yet in terms of Chloe finding out about it. And they were together at that point. Like you see in the show, they were like in a relatively good place together. Everything was going well.
Fucking Tristan Thompson.
And because it just adds another layer to his cheating, right? Like,
audacity to like know that his other child was being born that month and goes ahead and does the surrogate thing with Chloe.
I was almost going to be a Tristan apologist because I was like thinking in my mind, I was like, this makes it so much worse. But then I was like, it also makes more sense why Tristan tried so, so hard to cover it up, because he knew this was coming down the pipe. He knew that like they had another baby, like you can't turn back time and like unwind that. You're gonna have another baby with this woman and everyone's gonna find out. So it almost makes more sense in my mind why he tried so hard to cover it up. Does it make it at all any better? Absolutely not.
So I want to know your thoughts. Like, obviously Chloe had this baby with him because she wants True to have like a full sibling.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
I don't know if it's that was the whole reason. Like, I think she wanted a sibling for True. At the time, she thought things were going well for Tristan. And she was like, I'm going to roll the dice because this is just going to be easier. He's in my life right now. We can have a baby right now. He's going to be in my life forever because of True. So I think when you stacked up like the ways that made it make the most sense, it made the most sense as opposed to needing it to be like full-blown genetic sibling.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I see it more, but I don't know. What do you think?
No, I think I agree with you. Like, that's how it happened. But, you know, a lot of the tabloids or stories were saying it's because she wanted True to have a full sibling with the same dad and mom. Like, I think that's worse for the child growing up. To just because you want the full sibling, like, why do you have to deal with a toxic father?
Yeah, like, if this other kid could have a family unit with her.
Yeah.
Is that better? Is it different?
Yeah,
it's definitely different, but is it better? I don't know. Like, I've never been growing up in a separate household. Like, I think for the logistics of like I'm with my kid versus I'm not with my kid, because you imagine if they had two different dads, then True is just spending all this time away from like her dad and her other sibling when she goes to visit Tristan, as opposed to like going with her sibling. It's all movement, and when she's away, like Chloe's alone. I just think like logistically it all makes sense, as opposed to needing it to be like a genetics thing. I think it's more of a logistical thing.
Yeah. Well, either way, I wish Chloe all the best.
I do too.
And I hope that she's blocking out all these haters. Because this now is not the time.
No. And it was interesting how fast it kind of came out and how fast, like, she sent a comment in, like, a rep from Chloe has said, confirmed or whatever.
I guess because, like, the child's about to be born.
Yeah, so people are going to find out.
And I think I read somewhere that she did keep it concealed because that scandal just got released from the Kardashian show and she didn't want all this flack.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
Is understandable.
And I feel like the Kardashians are doing this a lot lately where it's all of a sudden like, hey, it's a baby.
Kylie.
Yeah, like Kylie did it twice. Even didn't Kim do it with some of her kids that were born via surrogate?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So and I feel like Courtney will probably do the same.
Yeah, this is all their MO.
And Travis and Courtney are doing just fine as an update.
Oh, good.
But amidst all this baby stuff, Tristan has been spotted in Greece with another lady, mystery lady.
I saw that. So he was like holding hands with some woman after like 4 a.m. at the club. Do you think it was just a girl he picked up from the club or did he go to Greece to visit this woman?
I think it was just a girl he picked up from the club. Yeah. What about you?
I think so too.
He has no shame.
No.
Whatsoever.
No.
Like, this is exactly why I don't ever trust anyone who sounds the way Tristan does when he's in crisis mode trying to gain someone's trust back.
Yeah, it's all fake.
It's just like, this is not real.
No, it's all not sustainable.
No.
Well, hopefully they can work things out. I did read that they were still communicating, but it was purely about co-parenting.
Yeah,
matters.
I read that too. You know who did work things out? Kendall and Devin. Apparently they're back together after a brief pause.
What was the brief pause? Like 5 days? Like I feel like
dude,
that's
I don't know. I don't
so
care.
Fast.
That's why I didn't read the article. But they are back together for those who care.
It's nobody. So moving on.
In Bravo news, this is all you.
Well, okay. So there is all this talk last week about the Real Housewives of New York casting. Because they're casting. They're having two different shows. Real Housewives of New York Legacy and then like Real Housewives of New York kind of OG or whatever, like the actual season. And there was rumors last week going around that the cast of Legacy was going to be Tinsley Mortimer, Jill Zarin, Luann Duceppe, Dorinda, forget her last name, Sonia, and Kelly. I don't know who Kelly is out. And then later on, it was like, no, Tinsley is out of Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip because she's going to film this Real Housewives of New York Legacy and she's being replaced by Portia from Real Housewives of Atlanta. And then shortly thereafter, this Bravo person who's like connected to casting was like, we haven't made any casting decisions. This is all bullshit.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see that part.
Yeah.
I thought Portia was confirmed.
No.
Because I was
she might be confirmed for Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip.
Yeah, okay, so she is confirmed for Ultimate Girls Trip then.
Yeah, because this all started because it was like Tinsley is out and Portia is in. And then there was theorizing as to why Tinsley was out. And they were like, oh, she's out because she's joining Legacy. And that's how this all spun out. And then they're like, with respect to Legacy, they said we haven't made any casting decisions.
Okay, well, all I was thinking was Candace Dillard and Portia together on Ultimate Girls Trip.
I don't know who Portia is.
Oh my god.
So explain.
There's nothing really to explain other than like she's the reason why Real Housewives of Atlanta did well for so long and why it's not doing as well anymore since she's been gone.
Okay.
She is super entertaining. She brings all the drama. She understands the assignment. Her and NeNe Leakes like made Atlanta what it was.
Okay.
And so.
So you're excited.
Just think of Candace and then think of Portia.
Okay.
Pretty similar. They're going to be together.
Okay.
So I think it's going to be super entertaining. And where are they going? Turkey?
Thailand. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited.
In other Bravo news, Tamara Judge is returning to Real Housewives of Orange County. So when you watched Orange County back in the day, did you see Tamara?
Was she on the first 6 seasons?
I have no idea. I know she was overlapped with Vicky a bunch, but I don't know how long she was on there. But like, everyone seemed excited about this and I was... like, I don't even know this chick because I didn't watch any of
those
seasons.
Well, I know she's one of the legends from OC. I just can't remember if I watched her, but this is big news.
I know. Everyone was saying that, but I've watched her on Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip, and I was like, I don't get why she's so like people are so excited to have her back.
Okay, but it's big news because I feel like in the past 2 weeks since the show has come on, there has been a lot of mentioning of how Bravo does the whole pause thing, puts you on pause, which actually means you're fired. But then someone, I think Vicky or Dorinda in one of the episodes was like, no, it's a pause. Oh, Andy Dorinda told me it's a pause.
Dorinda is like psycho about the pause on Ultimate Girls. Have you been watching?
Okay, no.
Okay. I watched this week's the first part of this week's episode yesterday.
Okay.
And it was like Dorinda every 2 seconds. She's like, I'm on pause. I'm on pause.
Yeah. So I guess like this is actually is a thing because Tamara's coming back. And I think that this means they're going to either bring Vicky or Taylor onto
Taylor OC. From Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
She has been being ridiculous on Ultimate Girls Trip.
She's the worst.
She was literally, okay, so she was on the first like 4 seasons of Beverly Hills, which was literally like 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So she is constantly bringing up stuff to Brandy, stuff Brandy did in the first 4 seasons. So this episode that I just watched, she's like, Brandy, why did you tell everyone that someone had had their baby via surrogacy or something when they weren't going to tell the kid about it? What was there some sort of drama?
Yeah,
what was that?
Don't remember who it was, but this is
familiar. So she's bringing that up now and she's like, did you ever apologize
for
that?
I think it's because like after they both got canceled from the show, they just did not speak for all these years.
No, that's clear.
This is the first time they're speaking,
but it's like that wasn't even your beef and everyone's like, why are you bringing this up? This wasn't even your problem. And she's like, I just think it speaks to her character. And they're like, her character 15 years ago, people can change, and it's she said they were friends, so obviously they repaired their beef, so like what the fuck do you care?
Yeah.
And it got really dark because they were being so stupid at this dinner, like fighting over like who's the most successful housewife and who's the most successful seasons and who's on pause, who's not on pause, all this stupid bullshit. Dorinda was hammered. So Vicky? Who the fuck are these people's names? No, the one we were Taylor.
Oh.
All of a sudden decided to bring up the shit to Brandy. And then Brandy was like firing back because she's like, your first 4 seasons were not the most successful. Like, I wouldn't
call.
You're
lesbian because of your eyebrows.
But then she said, I wouldn't call your husband. And then it like kind of dropped off. But she was basically implying that like the fact that Taylor's husband committed suicide meant that their housewife seasons wasn't successful, or she wasn't a successful housewife. And everyone was like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah.
And then Dorinda fires back with like, wouldn't you be upset if someone talked about your kid dying? And then like shit absolutely hit the fan. Because you know you never bring up kids in the Bravo Celebrity Universe. Even though what Brandy said was horrific. And it was just like a nightmare. Oh my gosh. It was pretty good though, the episode.
Well, how's Eva doing?
Well, she was really offended by all of that. And she pretty much removed herself from the conversation. She's like, I can't be around this negativity. Like, these people are psycho. I can't believe it's gotten this low.
She signed up for the show.
Yeah. So she kind of exited stage right. Jill Zarin was, like, really in the mix. Apparently, she doesn't drink. But she had drama this week because she announced on Twitter or something that Tamara was being brought back to the OC. And then Tamara went on Instagram, she went on Twitter and said Jill Zarin is the most thirstiest bitch in all the world. And then Jill replied by Instagram story and was like, I just like read it on the internet and I just repeated what I reckon read.
You not sent me thirsty. This.
And she went on this like big spiel because she was at her own party right then. Anyways, just drama.
And what about Phaedra? I actually enjoyed her on Dubai.
She's hilarious. She's just like,
she's so quick-witted.
She's so quick, and she's so even keel. She's so chill, but she has all these one-liners, and she's speaking the most logic of anybody there. Like, she is unreal.
I really like her.
Yeah, I love her.
So I guess Portia, going back to it, is in for season 3 of Ultimate Girls Trip.
Yeah.
And Tinsley's out.
Apparently. Apparently.
Okay. Well, VPR began filming last week.
Yeah, so I've seen lots of posts of them all hanging out together again, like Tom and Lala.
Well, it was weird that, like, the first day of filming, they're doing a scene at Tom Tom, and it's Ariana, Katie, and Lala. So I guess, like, Katie and Tom are on good terms?
Yeah, well, we've never really heard. I haven't heard a lot since their initial breakup.
Yeah.
I guess they'll both be filming. That will be interesting to see that dynamic. Because it'll be like them all like moving out, or maybe they've already moved out, so it'll be them in their new spaces.
But I swear, like, if the episode starts off like with Katie and Tom having some sort of awkward tension or whatever, like, I'm gonna know this entire show is fake, because they're filming like 6 months after the announcement that they're divorced, and their first scene is at Tom. So if they're like creating a scene to show that Katie and Tom have tension, I'm not but for
maybe,
it.
But maybe, I mean, it is a divorce. Like, those feelings can linger for a while.
Yeah, I guess. Speaking from experience, right, Laura?
Yeah, when I went through my divorce.
But yeah, that's it. I mean, season 10 is happening.
Okay, can't wait. I'm going to watch. I know I haven't loved the show recently, but it's an OG, so I'll keep watching.
Okay, so in Bachelor news, you know how Nate and Michelle broke up?
Yeah.
Was it you who told me that there were rumors of Deandra?
Yeah.
Okay, well, they've been spending some time together recently.
Alone?
In groups, but she's always at everything that he's at. Mm. And recently on the 17th, there was video footage of them being pretty cozy on a couch.
Really?
I mean, we don't know the context, but there's a bunch of people on the couch. Nate is super enthralled in conversation with her. Their faces are very close, and she's like leaning back. He's got his arm here. She's like sitting. Obviously, our listeners can't hear. He's got his arm around the sofa, and she's like in the armpit of that arm, leaning back, mm-hmm. and they're both staring at each other in convo.
That's really close.
Mm-hmm.
Interessant.
So,
I mean, it's not like she would ever have any loyalty to Michelle, so it like doesn't. It's no, just like sure. So fast for him to move on with another person from Batch Nation.
Well, because their announcement came out June 17th, and he had that whole post, which we didn't talk about, where the number one thing he said was, "No, I didn't cheat."
Yeah.
But then June 25th is when Deandra started showing up in all these hangouts. Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
A little bit of overlap.
That's suspicious.
That's weird. But Deandra's the person who like did that whole post on how she hates how people like message you after a breakup or something like that.
Oh.
Yeah.
But she might have been the one sliding into the DMs.
Maybe.
All right. Well, in other news, Heather Ray, well, I guess it's Heather Ray El Moussa now, and Tariq El Moussa are expecting their first bebé.
I hate them. I mean, I hate him.
Yeah, the thing is, I don't, like, I'm kind of rooting for her. Silence.
Love that for you.
I don't have anything against her, like, even from the show, like, I don't, it's not like she's my favorite character, but I definitely didn't dislike her, and this is seems like she's really, really happy. Maybe it's all fake, but I don't know, she seems pumped, she's having her baby, she really wanted that, apparently, so.
Apparently.
Good for her.
It's due early 2023, and she does look super cute.
She does. Pregnant. Yeah, she's going to be an adorable pregnant person.
For sure. And it seems like she, like, even when she started dating Tariq, like, she just really jumped into that mom role.
Yeah.
So I think she's loving it, and she's excited to be pregnant.
Yeah, so good for them.
Good for them. I still don't trust him. Apparently, Jason Oppenheim is in a relationship.
That won't last.
No. I don't know who it's with or any details, just that he's in a relationship.
If you guys want excellent reporting, come to Pop Therapy.
I always write these things down in the notes app, and I'm like, you'll find up. More. Yeah, I'll follow up before our podcast. And then I don't, because all I do is watch Made in Chelsea. For those who care, I'm on season 9. If you recall, I work my way back through seasons. That's how I watch shows. So I went from season 23 all the way to 9. I'm about to wrap up 9, which means I have season 1 to 8 left.
So you've watched 14 seasons, and how many episodes per season?
There's like 12, but they're an hour long.
I thought there was like 20 or so.
No, there's just 20 plus seasons.
Okay.
But they're an hour long each. I've got to say, their reunion episodes are so effing tacky.
Do they feel more realistic than the show?
They haven't done a reunion since season 19.
Oh.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
Working backwards.
But, yeah.
So, they started doing reunions in season 19.
No. They stopped doing reunions season 19.
Okay.
So, I'm watching all these reunions from the other seasons, and they're horrible.
Yeah. It's always funny when because I do the same thing. Well, no, I guess I don't work my way back starting with the last episode.
But it's weird how, like, my opinion of people and their situation changes the more that I go back into seasons.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, I was really rooting for you in the newest season.
Right.
But you kind of sucked in this season.
Well, then you see their growth just on a backwards. Like, you're like, yeah, you're devolving. It's honestly, but really, they've grown.
It's a mind fuck.
Yeah, it really is confusing.
But I wouldn't change it.
No, you can't do it the other way. It no. just doesn't work.
No, because the quality of the TV is just terrible.
Yeah, and that's why I can't go back in time. Honestly, like, I still haven't gone back.
Yeah, where are you?
No, I still haven't gone back because the fucking music in the background where it's like...
For season one, Beverly Hills. But the thing is, I really want you to watch season 4 to 5.
Like, if you have to listen to that for... like 20 hours, it never stops. Like, there's no break of like, okay, we're in really a conversation right now, we're gonna like turn off the background elevator music. It never ends.
Well, our McDonald's is here, so I'm just concentrating on buzzing them in.
Okay, well, why don't we pause before we get into the groundbreaking news of this week?
Okay,
stay tuned, folks, for some groundbreaking news and some dawns.
All right, facts. Right, folks. We're back and we're recharged from the dawns. 10 out of 10 would recommend.
I am McNauseous though.
Yeah, that always happens. Mm-hmm. That's just part of it.
Yeah, part of the experience. Then you get the McShits.
Ooh, yeah.
Did you just shiver?
Yeah. They feel so bad.
Okay, give them the big news.
Okay, well, breaking news of this past week. Ben Affleck and
pretty much
Jennifer Lopez got married. They got married at a Vegas chapel. They
tacky
arrived there shortly after midnight. She wore a dress that she said she's been saving in her closet for a long time and is from a film. My theory on that is it's from The Wedding Planner.
Yeah,
it was giving me those vibes. And he wore a white suit from his closet. They rushed in there, but they stayed open for them. They got married surrounded by, like, other people. There was, like, couples before them and after them. And then she announced it on her newsletter on the JLo, which, because I am the epitome of a journalist, I subscribe to.
What?
I subscribe to on the JLo.
Since when?
When I heard this news, because I was like, I need to read this from the source. And then I realized that all these news outlets just like literally write out the entire article again and post all the same pictures. So I'm like, I'm not learning anything new from on the JLo. But anyways, now I'm subscribed.
Do you pay for that?
No, it's free.
Okay.
But the pictures were all like really janky.
Like, why were they so blurry?
They were so blurry. They were, and like the videos even, it was like the guy was holding his hand over the speaker. Like, it was all such poor quality.
Oh, I didn't watch the videos.
Yeah, there's two videos. One of Jen in her dress and one of Ben, like a selfie video, being like, this was my change room.
Cool story, bro.
Their witnesses were their 5 kids from like both their marriages. What is wrong with me?
Weird flex, but okay.
I'm also just curious, so like, 5 kids were from their mortgages. Past their bedtime? It's midnight, folks. Your children are under the age of 12.
Yeah. I didn't have a bedtime growing up.
Well, Lottie fucking died.
Yeah.
And that's why you're troubled.
Honestly, yeah. So they're married, hey?
They're married, and she changed her name. She signed her newsletter, Jennifer Lynn Affleck.
Oh,
Lynn Affleck. So she's now like JF.
That's weird.
JF.
She's Jennifer Jaff. As fuck.
Oh, that's not bad. It's not as good as J-Lo, but it's an interesting choice.
Interesting.
Yeah, so anyways, they're married. Happy for them. I wonder if they'll have an actual wedding or if, like, this is it. Like, if this is it, it's kind of my vibes. Can relate.
Mm-hmm.
Low-key, inexpensive, last minute, let's just get her done.
Yeah, but do you want to go to Vegas?
No, but it's just like...
Okay, thank God, because honestly, that's so fucking tacky, Laura.
I wasn't going to go to Vegas. I hate Vegas. You know I'm not going to Vegas.
I did not know you hate Vegas.
I feel like you've asked me to go to Vegas before, and I've been like...
I have, yes.
Absolutely not.
But I didn't think it was particular to Vegas. It's just you not wanting to leave your house.
Well, that's part of it, too. But it's definitely like I could be convinced to leave my house for somewhere other than Vegas.
I definitely could not do Vegas with you.
No, you would have the worst
time. I would hate you, I think.
You would hate me. Like, we would have the absolute worst time. I'd be like, I'd be in my head being like, fuck, I've got to rally, I've got to go. You'd know that I was in my head.
Yeah, I'd be like, oh my God, I got to stop the pressure. But goddamn, she's so boring.
Exactly. We're just not meant to be party hardy together.
No.
We're stay-at-home friends.
Because honestly, I told you, like, when my birthday happened, I didn't know how to handle you. I didn't know what to do with myself around you either.
I feel like I was partying.
You were, and I didn't know what to do.
I was whooping it up.
It was so bizarre to me.
Yeah, see, I have
fun. I loved it for you, but I was just like, what do I do?
Yeah, you, like, sobered up. You're like, I need to be the sober one.
I did sober up real quick.
I'm here to party with you.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, please don't go home so I can party.
It's like, mom's out of hand.
Yeah.
Go back home. Go to bed. Get a good night's sleep.
Yeah.
All right, so that's the big news. Other breakup news. I'll go with mine first. Chelsea Handler and Joe Coy have split after almost 1 year of dating.
What's the significance of this? Because I don't know who Joe Coy is.
Oh my gosh, you haven't seen their like PR?
No.
So this past year, so you know, I don't know like how much so you follow.
Think he can dance?
Chelsea Handler.
I once upon a time.
Okay, so I like read all her books. I listen to her podcast.
You love the Chelseas and the Amy Schumers, hey?
Yeah, I like women in comedy. Mm-hmm. I cheer for them. I root for them. I'm a feminist.
I like Ali Wong.
I like her too.
She's hilarious.
And Nikki Glaser.
Oh, yeah.
Very funny.
I like Taylor Tomlinson.
I don't know who that is, but I'm sure I'd love her. Anyways, so she's like in her 60s or whatever. She's never really.
She is?
Yeah, she's banging.
No way she's in her 60s.
I'm almost certain of it.
Holy shit.
Maybe she's in her 50s. You should Google it while I talk.
Okay. Actually, I went to the bar on Saturday, and they were desperate to have people come in. I told you it was pretty empty. And we're like, okay, let's just get one drink. So they tell us to come in, and they're like, IDs, please. And I literally said, I was like, you're the one who asked us to come in. Why do you need our ID? But then I gave it to him because, you know, I'm not underage. Gave him the ID, and I was like, wait, first, how old do you think I am? And he was like, oh, I'm like 23, 24. And I gave him my ID. He's looking at it. He's like, you're 29? You look amazing. And I was like, you ageist.
That's such a good feeling.
Yeah.
When they think you're young. I got it so wrong. She's 47.
Okay. I mean, yeah. She looks like kind of like 54, 55.
Honestly, yeah. But like, I was raging about how good she looks. But it kind of makes sense.
No, she doesn't look so good, hey?
Well, she looks good for
ages.
But anyways, she's always talked about how, like, she's never had a serious relationship. She's always just been fucking, having fun, nothing serious, like, kind of commitment, really? Kind of afraid of love. And then this guy, like, they used to work together on Chelsea Lately way back in the day, and he used to have, like, a major crush on her. And then finally, like, they finally got together after so many years of being friends. Mm-hmm. And then they were, like, raging in love. Like, their personalities almost seemed to change. Like, they just seemed so happy and different and, like, finally, like, this is the person.
See, when it's, like, really quick, really intense, really quick.
Yeah.
It's like, a very quick burn.
Yeah. That's what it seems to have happened. But it's also very strange because they recorded a video to celebrate their one-year anniversary, like an Instagram video. And so in her announcement, she posted the video and she's like, as you can see, we recorded this before the news you've already heard that we've decided to go separate ways. So it's like, what happened between like the moment you were like, let's record a celebration of our 1 year to like days later?
Maybe being he like, was we like, broke up. Oh, I thought you were 60 looking 47, but you're actually 47 looking 60.
Maybe. But they were really cute. The announcement seems like they could get back together in the future. I also read an article that they are both working in different spots right now. Like, she's he
classic fired celebrity up. Excuse.
But she also said, like, he fired up my passion for, like, my creativity, my stand-up. He's like, because he's a comedian too. Mm. And so she's like, he kind of, like, reinvigorated me. So she has been doing a lot more, like, work-wise since they got together. Maybe that put a strain on their relationship. Mm. But I don't know. I was sad, honestly. I thought they were a great couple. It seemed really genuine.
So who do you think she's going to fuck first?
I don't know. Chris Evans? He's looking for a partner right now.
But he's intentional about finding like a relationship partner.
I saw a picture of him, Ryan Gosling, and the guy from Bridgerton.
Oh, yeah. I saw that too.
And I was like, fuck. I never thought some of these people were hot until they're all standing next to each other and like feeding off each other's hotness. And
well, you know,
like,
the guy from
stunned.
Wait, which one from Bridgerton?
The black guy.
Oh, John the dude. Pierre. Regé Jean-Paul. Okay. Yeah. I have such a big crush on him.
Yeah. They looked fire.
Yeah. So Chris Evans, I had a story about him. Right. Lizzo came out with her man.
Oh, I didn't know she had a man.
Yeah, exactly. So there have been rumors of her having a man. She finally stepped out with him. Okay. He has a face. He looks really sweet.
A man with a face?
Yeah.
Holy, she's shooting hoops.
I know. Three pointers everywhere. No, he looks really sweet, and he looks like she's the main character and he supports her.
Well, we love that. Mm-hmm. She's definitely main character energy.
For sure. So in other split news, Emily Ratajkowski.
I think you got it right the first time.
She and her husband Sebastian split after 4 years. They have a child together.
Well, like, I had never heard of this man before I heard this breakup
honestly
news.
Same.
And then I saw a picture of him and I was like, what is going on?
Honestly, same.
And then I read the comment that said he cheated on her allegedly.
He's
and I
was an like, insecure
is
fuck.
Is this serious,
dude? What is with guys cheating on hot women like you and I?
Why does this happen to people like us and Emily?
Like, they're just so insecure and can't believe that they're with this woman.
Yeah.
That they just need to go cheat.
I think
I don't understand.
They need a stroke to their ego because, like, being with the woman who's getting all this attention from other men isn't enough.
Ugh. Goodbye.
Repulsive.
Anyway, yeah, so as soon as they split, I messaged one of my friends from like a decade ago because I remember he had a big crush on her. I was like, you still have a chance. And it was like the first time we spoke in 5 years. But yeah, I'm sure every guy out there is celebrating.
Yeah.
She's so hot.
Like, that is just
like her
fucked.
Body's insane.
Right?
And she's woke.
Yeah.
She's intellectual. She's super down to earth.
He's an idiot.
Yeah.
Classic.
And last finally, but not least.
So here in Calgary, for the past 10 days or so, ending on Sunday, we've had the Calgary Stampede, which is a rodeo.
Yeehaw.
Basically for 10 days. And it's a huge event. There's tons of partying. And today I stumbled across Luke from Summer House's Instagram and saw that he was at Stampede and he's in Alberta right
unreal.
Now.
Unreal.
He was dancing it up at Cowboy's tent.
How did I not see this man?
I don't know, but what would you have done if you did see him?
Well, I would have been like starstruck, but not because I think he's amazing. I would have just been like, what the fuck? Yeah. Is this happening? Is this who I think it is? Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, I have to tell Laura. And then straight away, I'd be like, dude, you are a wet blanket. I'm so glad you're not on Summer House anymore. But can you share some goss? Like, did you
just
sleep
really
with Lindsay?
Really buttering him up to start.
Did you sleep with Lindsay? Is Paige and Craig's relationship real? Like, you are you selling maple notebook. Syrup?
I've got some questions,
sir. Yeah, exactly. What would you have done?
I would have, like, taken pictures from afar and just texted you and left it at that.
Yeah, honestly, that's so true.
I would have definitely have not even gone taken up. A picture. I'd just been like, I think I just saw Luke.
I would have gotten up and been like, this isn't real.
Yeah.
Like, you're hot, but good choice leaving Summer House.
Yeah. Well, it seems like, so he's, it looks like when, from when I was creeping his Instagram, he's been in like Calgary area for quite a while. He's been to like Banff, Moraine Lake.
He's filming something here.
Yeah. He's like doing a, he's like a producer on a film. I'm like, who are you?
Yeah. Nobody knows.
Yeah. So if you ever wanted to slide into Luke's DMs, now would be the time. Maybe we could get him on the pod.
Oh my God. Should I message him right now?
Yeah.
You what should I say? Him right now. But like, okay.
You should tell him about our thousands of listeners.
I just, no.
But you need to message him from your account because then he'll see a hot girl and
excuse
he'll be
me?
More interested.
You're hot too. The thing is, I would have to go public and I don't want to go public.
All right. Well, let's revisit this after the pod. Maybe tune in next week for our interview with Luke. We'll see.
I think it could happen. I'm manifesting it.
Yeah. All right. Okay. In the interim, let's talk about this week's Pitch or Ditch. All right. I'm going to let you start.
So did you ever watch Nathan For You on Comedy Central?
No.
Do you know who Nathan Fielder is?
Is he the guy that yells at people on the streets?
No.
Then no.
Okay, Nathan Fielder is probably like, if you watch Nathan For You, that is my humor. It's just like the most random shit that keeps building. And you're just like, why did you think this was funny? But somehow it's funny.
Okay.
So he came out, he has a new show on Crave or HBO called The Rehearsal. And it's basically, it's pretty meta. So he sets up these simulations for helping someone overcome a scenario. And he rehearsed how he would talk to that person and then helps that person rehearse how he's going to talk to the people they need to talk to. But it's just so meta and hilarious. Okay, let me read the IMDb description. Nathan Fielder returns to television to explore the lengths one person will go to reduce the uncertainties of everyday life. With a construction crew, a legion of actors, and seemingly unlimited resources, Fielder allows ordinary people to prepare for life's biggest moments by rehearsing them in carefully crafted simulations of his own design.
Okay.
It's so, what's so next? Funny. That's all I have to say. Only one episode has been released so far. So last night I was with my friend and we were trying to pick what to watch. And I saw that. I was like, no way. He's back on TV. We have to watch this. It was just so funny.
So what's the scenario? Like, what's the example from the first episode?
Okay. So this guy, he goes to trivia night every, I don't know, Tuesday of the week. And he goes with a certain group and he has a problem where he basically told this group of people that he had an advanced degree, a master's degree, but he doesn't. He only has his bachelor's. And he thinks that one of the women is on to him because she keeps sending him job postings for credentials with this master's degree that he said that he has. So now he feels like he has to come out and tell the truth that he doesn't have this master's degree, but he's really scared to. So Nathan goes and tries to help him, like hires actors to study the girl that he wants to tell and then play her role. And they do it like 13 times in the exact same bar in a studio. And like he gets thrown off because he's not getting the trivia questions right. And so that's making him not want to confess because he's really focused on that. So then Nathan like takes him on these walks and like pays people to slowly to somehow reveal like a trivia fact. Like, for instance, they walk past this construction site and Nathan's like, oh my god, this building's gonna be really tall. And the construction worker goes, not as tall as the tallest building in the world, that's the Burj Khalifa in Dubai. So he like tries to plant these facts in the guy's head so that he gets the trivia right and goes through with telling the truth to the woman. In the actual scenario.
This is so layered.
It's so meta.
It sounds funny though.
But even when he goes to like meet this guy for the first time in his house, he has this conversation. After the conversation, he goes, so I have to tell you something, I actually rehearsed every single line that I said to you today. We've actually had this conversation with me and your paid actor. And they studied you. And then they show like clips of him running these jokes by this guy. It's so funny. The whole time I'm just like, oh man, I wish I was watching this with my brother right now.
That does sound funny.
Yeah.
I might actually watch that.
I would be surprised if you found it funny though.
Really?
Yeah.
As you were describing it, I'm LOLing.
I'm surprised. Each episode is like 45 minutes.
Okay.
So it's a decent amount of time.
Okay. Well, I think I might try that actually.
Okay. Well, Crave.
Okay.
And I guess it's one episode per week.
Sick. Mm-hmm. Good pitch.
Yeah, I'm pitching it. Your turn.
All right. So mine's not too in depth, but I just wanted to let everyone know that because I'm your island girl.
Island boy.
My two favorite island shows are back. F-Boy Island is back on Crave. They've released the first three episodes at least so far. And it's just the same like concept as last year. It's great. Three women, 20 guys. Trying to identify whether these guys are fuckboys or nice guys.
I honestly don't know what the show's about. I've never dabbled in it.
Didn't I pitch it 1 week?
No, you pitched Temptation Eye, which I did follow through with.
Well, FY Island's hosted by Nikki Glaser. Oh, wait, hold on.
I did watch the one that got away.
Oh, yeah, we talked about that last week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so FY Island's hosted by Nikki Glaser. And it's like, it's a funny reality show because it totally makes fun of itself and is like just wanting to be... It's like really making a joke of itself the entire time. It's so like self-aware. And so it's these three like really hot women who live in this villa. And I think there's like 20-ish men who live in this other villa. And they're all like dating the same people. of this group, but like they develop connections with some and some with others. And the whole concept is like they're trying to develop these connections, and at the very end, like whoever they pick, basically if he's a nice guy, they get to split the pot with them like 50-50, and that's like $100,000 of whoever like wins. If it's a F boy, then the F boy gets to choose whether to split or keep all the money. So the women are supposed to like be incentivized to try to choose nice guys, and inevitably, like each week they each eliminate one person. So three guys go home each week, and then they reveal like whether they're an F boy or a nice guy. And it's just like, it's comedic. It's so funny because they just are making fun of themselves the entire time. And Nikki Glaser is making jokes constantly.
I didn't realize that the show had like a prize involved.
Yeah, it does. $100,000 or something like that at the end.
I mean, I always hear about F Boy Island. I just never gave it a shot.
It's hilarious.
So is this something that I could just jump into the recent season?
Well, you could there, but there are like a couple lingering people. So there's like two contestants who came back from the first season.
Okay.
Three, actually, but they haven't really described what the third one is meant to be. But like it's so you could jump in. You just won't get who those people are or what their importance are. So I would recommend going back to season.
Every reality TV show.
Yeah. I would recommend starting with season one, though, because I think you'll like it.
How many seasons are there?
This is just season two.
Oh, is this UK or USA?
USA.
Where can I watch it?
HBO.
Okay. Crave. So there's Temptation Island, F-Boy Island, and Love Island.
So Love Island US, I think, is premiering tonight, if not like this week. And it's also one of my favorite shows because it's on once, like every day, except for one day a week, which is great for me. And so I'm really excited to get into the season.
Okay. So pitches then?
Both pitches.
Nice. Well, I think I will try F Boy Island. I feel like I need to jump on that bandwagon.
Agreed.
I don't know why I said it like that.
All right, so let's start with the Bachelorette. So we had...
So it turns out that I did have that series recorded.
Oh, good. So you watched this week?
I watched both episodes, the first and this week.
Wow, back to back?
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Okay.
I actually have found it entertaining so far.
I find it entertaining too, but like... Oh my god, Hot Mess Express is about to start.
I have to say I can't stand Rachel. I never could.
Yeah, I'm not compelled by her either.
And I'm just getting more and more annoyed by her. I think she's only thinking about herself.
So let's talk about this. Let's unpack this. Because the first like pivotal thing that I think happens in the episode is that they have this like pageant date. And then ultimately they pick six guys to go to this after party. And they all go, these six guys go to an after party with Rachel and... Gabby at their house, and they both really like this one guy named Logan, and they both end up kissing him that night. And Rachel is telling Gabby that she's like really excited about Logan, she really likes him, and that she kissed him. But then at the same time she's like, are you really interested in him? Basically saying like, you can call dibs if you want. And we don't see Gabby tell Rachel that she also kissed him. But the gist of it is that in an interview, Gabby's like, you know, she seems really excited about her, so I'm going to step back and give Rachel her space to explore that connection. Mm-hmm. So is that where you're getting at in terms of thinking that, like, Rachel is only in it for herself?
No, I'm thinking of the date that Rachel went on with Jordan.
Yeah, so she goes with Jordan, the race car driver, on a one-on-one. He looks 12 years old, but he's actually 27.
He honestly does, yep.
They go to do,
same thing.
Yeah. Their frontal lobe is not quite developed. Getting close.
No, it develops at 25.
Okay, so it is developed.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. So they go on a date. It's like a zero gravity thing. And then they have their dinner. And she says that she feels like something's missing already.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts?
Well, I thought that whole thing was weird because she just randomly steps off to the side and starts whispering to the producers. And they just keep panning over to Jordan, who's like looking around like a crow.
Yeah.
I thought it was very weird. And I want to know what it was that made her jump to that conclusion.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen anyone eliminate someone on a one-on-one this early. And no, honestly, same. Like he was giving compelling answers. Like he was opening up about his childhood.
Yeah.
His dynamics with his siblings and his divorced parents.
I agree. I don't know where it went wrong.
I don't know either. Like, I don't know either. And she, Rachel, comes across, I don't know if it's because of the editing, but she wants everybody to be into her. She wants everybody to kiss her.
I just don't think she's ready to be in a relationship or bachelorette for sure.
Yeah, I think
you were right last week when you were saying, like, Gabby is fully formed, this and that. Rachel is just not ready.
I think she's insecure and bringing a lot of her insecurities into the show.
Especially from her last thing with Clayton.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, she's, no.
And that was just so pathetic. So, like, she dumps this guy on a one-on-one, and then they have this scheduled concert, and they show the concert, and I was like, is anyone there? And then all of a sudden they pan to Rachel, and she's just slowly swaying by herself. I'm like, this is the saddest state of affairs in Bachelor.
Honestly, though. So how does that work if she eliminates him so Gabby just doesn't get a chance?
Well, that was my question.
She's not thinking of anyone else.
There must have been a discussion between, I just have to believe that there was a discussion between her and Gabby ahead of time to be like, are you interested in this guy? Because they know how this works. So I feel like there had to have been a conversation before where she's like,
if you don't like him. But then what about their convo about Logan?
Well, that conversation, he wasn't going to go home. It was more so about who's going to, like, date him or give him the rose, basically, that night. I think when it's, like, talking about someone going home, they must be having these conversations behind the scenes. Because otherwise, it can get so manipulative. Could you imagine, like, they're both fighting over one guy, or one person really hates this other guy, and they, like, set it up so they go on a one-on-one to send him home if, like, Gabby doesn't think he's right for Rachel or there for the right reasons, and then she takes him on a one-on-one and send him, like, it doesn't make any sense. So I feel like they must have had that conversation. Otherwise, yeah, it does look like she just stole him away and sent him home. But I just have to believe that with how much they've been selling to us that, like, Rachel and Gabby are BFFs and are figuring this out, they must have figured out the rules of engagement before.
I think my biggest issue with Rachel are her sideburns. Yeah. Like, why does she have those?
She said really bad styling.
Really bad. Like, she has not looked good.
And the dress is, like, Rachel.
Very tacky.
Gabby comes out in this, like, cute crocheted top with jeans. And, like, Rachel comes out in basically, like, a paper bag safari dress. Mm-hmm. It's like, why are you putting this girl in these outfits?
I don't know. Her
any favors.
Gabby's doing amazing, though.
Yeah.
So I really love her.
I know. She's so cute.
She's very relatable.
The thing is, so she goes on a date with Nate. And when I was watching, I was like, man, she's just so easy breezy and light, but also has, like, a real substance behind her too, that it's just very difficult to not enjoy her company.
Totally. So it comes down to, like, I think we talked about this before, where it's like someone like Gabby knows that the other person's going to enjoy the date and have an amazing time. But it's like, does Gabby enjoy it?
Yeah.
You don't know.
It's more on her terms.
Yeah.
And she'll give the energy and she'll give people the chance. And I think
everyone's falling for her.
Yeah. And I think she has such a broad array of, like, she's like, I've dated everyone. Mm-hmm. The small kings, the tall guys. Like, I think she's just really open also to connection. So she just comes across as, like, very warm to everyone that she meets because she doesn't, like, rule people out right away the way Rachel has been doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's why so many guys are, like, drawn to her more than they seem to be drawn to Rachel.
Yeah. The comment that Rachel made right before her first date, which was, like, I just didn't expect no one to be into me, or, like, no one's here for me. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, man, Rachel, you're not ready for this.
But also, I did feel sad for her because in the previews they showed that, like, they ultimately split in giving roses. And there's guys that she offers roses to, and they're like, no, I'm more interested in Gabby. Oh, yeah.
I thought that was just one person.
Well, it might just be one, but, like, I feel like this entire scenario is just setting these women up to feel insecure vis-a-vis each other. Because they're literally fighting for the same men's affection.
I mean, at some point, this is all going to go sour.
Well, I feel like it's already going sour.
I'm just here for it, waiting for it.
But I feel kind of rattled because normally in these bachelorette seasons, the women have the power. The women get to pick, like, who's going home, who's going on dates. They can direct and control everything. With this kind of, like, two bachelorette scenario, it's like the women have given up their power. Now the guys are choosing, like, which one they like more.
Yeah, I agree. Like, it was weird to see, even at the end of the episode at the cocktail party, that personal trainer, Mario,
yeah.
Yeah, so Gabby gave him her first impression rose, but then he goes to talk to Rachel, and now he's, like, working out with her, lifting her up, and Gabby's looking over at the corner of her eye. Like, that's so awkward.
So awkward.
And then the power's going to end up being in Mario's hands.
Yeah, to pick which woman he wants. And it's like, that is not how this is supposed to go.
Yeah, not that it should come down to that, but... Yeah,
I really just think weird. It's fucked. Like, I don't like the two bachelorette thing. I think it's just a recipe for disaster. And so the one other drama that happened was Chris. This is interesting. So Chris is, like, in a conversation with a couple of the guys, and he's talking about fantasy suites already. And he basically says that it's a deal breaker if a female, he makes sure to use the word female.
Yeah.
Bachelorette. You know, that's a
red flag.
Sleeps with another man, and I couldn't tell if it was, like, at all or, like, before him in sequence. He was basically like, that's a deal breaker for me, that's where I draw the line. And then ultimately the guys told Rachel this, shit hits the fan. Gabby and Rachel are like, why are you, like, this is such a controlling way to go about things. They come in hot. Gabby's like, why are you even talking about the fantasy suites? And he's like, well, in any type of relationship, I, like, think all the way to the end and kind of work my way back. And she's like, that seems very calculated. And so ultimately they send him home. But what I did find interesting about the whole thing was that I don't think him deciding that, like, if my partner, who I see a life with, sleeps with somebody else the day before they propose to me, I'm out. I don't think there's wrong with him feeling that way.
Like Susie.
Yeah. The issue is, like, the communication. And that's where I found fault with him, because some guy asked him, like, when would you tell her, before, during, or after? He's like, I don't know. We'll see. And it's like, hey, that's fucked up, because now you're, like, laying a trap for her. Like, if that's how you really feel.
Very manipulative.
Totally. If that's how you feel, you have to communicate that to them. That's only fair. Mm-hmm. And you can't be, like, sending them in there as, like, a test, which is kind of what I feel like Susie kind of did.
Yeah, well, I just thought it was so cringe how he came back after they sent him out, and he just, like, makes no eye contact and asks specific people to meet him outside, and he thinks of himself as this alpha leader, whatever.
Totally.
And then goes to take them for a chat and tries to ask, like, who relayed this information and why, still not making eye contact. And then Gabby and Rachel come back, and they're just like, excuse me, we asked you to leave, yeah, so you need to leave. Out. I just thought he looked so insecure in that entire scene.
He looked like an idiot. Thank God
they eliminated him.
Yeah, I agree. I just still, it just seemed a lot to me like they're upset for him holding those feelings. I'm like, what is wrong with that feeling? Like, maybe am I missing something?
See, the way that I interpreted it was very much like, it was giving me those vibes we got from that podcast that was trending on TikTok for the longest time about, do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
The guy just thinks that the woman should be untouched and shouldn't have many sexual partners and this and that. And it was giving me those vibes. Okay. I didn't see it as, like, what you were saying.
Okay.
I very much saw it as misogynistic.
Well, that makes sense. And I'm sure that's the vibe he was giving off.
Well, all the men there were reacting as though, like, it was misogynistic.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. That could be why it was so off-putting. And the way his delivery obviously is, like, hella rude, aggressive, condescending.
Well, that's why, like, I didn't really give him the benefit of the doubt after, even when he did the whole comes back and asked people to talk to him. Like, that's when it was confirmed for me that it was misogynistic. Like, he's an insecure, quotation marks, alpha male.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
All right, well, that was kind of it. Yeah, as I said, like, next week it looks like shit is going to hit the fan. But you know what? As an aside, as I was watching this show, I was also, like, following along on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And what is it about pilots that, like, make being a pilot their entire personality?
Dude, I don't know. I've seen many pilots on the dating apps, and they make it their entire personality, but also they're, like, the number one person to not be trusted.
Right? Like, I just feel like they have a superiority complex about being a pilot. Like, we have Pilot Pete, we have Pilot Rachel, like, it's all in their usernames everywhere. Like, could you imagine if I was like, I'm Lawyer Laura?
That actually sounds cool.
Absolute douche move.
Laura Lawyer. Laura Lawyer.
Laura the Lawyer.
Lawyers.
Like, Laura underscore the underscore lawyer. Like, I'd be made fun of too. That's so embarrassing.
I hate it when people have their social media bios as, like, what they do for a living. Yeah. Like, lawyer, justice symbol. Okay. Cool.
Mine's empty. I don't want you to know me. Mine is
too, actually.
But I'm a Scorpio.
We're cool.
All right. Taurus. Okay, let's talk about our next show. Let's talk about Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Okay.
So we start kind of out at Erica finally apologizing to Garcelle. I think it was at Sutton's party.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really remember what her apology actually was.
She basically, like, immediately owned up to it. But one thing that rubbed me the wrong way was she said it was my mistake for I was talking to them as though they were adults. And I think Garcelle even said, whether they were adults or not, like, do not talk to my kids that way. I was like, I agree.
Yeah, like, don't tell someone to get the fuck out of here when they're doing nothing. Like,
yeah, like, you are drunk.
Yeah.
And it's their mom's party. They're collecting their flowers. Like, don't humiliate them.
No, totally. And that kind of dovetails into the lunch with Garcelle and Kyle having lunch with Cherie.
Yeah. Cherie? I actually am really liking Cherie.
Really? I feel like she's not making a noticeable impact on the show.
I think she is.
During that conversation, the one thing I did notice was that she was trying to mediate and was like, I can see both sides here. This is what you're saying, Kyle.
She was trying to be diplomatic during that, for sure.
I feel like she really hasn't otherwise made a mark.
I thought she did well at Sutton's lunch with Erica. Or no, Dorit, talking about her not being able to drive alone or anything like that. She was just like, well, how does that, why does that make you scared?
Oh, I don't know.
Her and Garcelle both were leading that combo.
Yeah. She hasn't really made an impact on me yet.
Well, you have high standards.
But yeah, so they have lunch and they're talking about how Garcelle's concerned about Erica mixing her meds with alcohol. And it was coming from, like, Garcelle having experience with her son who had experienced addiction. And she's, like, clearly coming from a place of concern. And Kyle's pushback was like, she's just having fun, she's letting go, she's like being easy breezy. And Garcelle's like, okay, but this is the beginning of like what could be a really destructive pattern. Why do we have to wait until it gets to a negative place to step in?
And Kyle is all just like, I think I have enough experience with this to know, in her confessionals. But what I don't understand is, like, what does Erica have over Sutton, Kyle, and who else?
Sutton?
No, sorry.
Dorit and Kyle?
Dorit and Kyle.
Well, it's all that, like...
And Rinna.
It's all that Fab or Fox 5 fuck shit I know, that they but have. Like, this weird, like, let's stick together, we are the pack mentality. That they're all just, like, will defend each other to no end.
It's so stupid, though. Like, I didn't even have that much loyalty when I was younger. High school.
No, totally. It's like...
She has to have something over them.
Have your own morals and scruples.
Totally.
And then the real, like, culmination of the entire thing was the Sutton-Diana drama.
Okay. So I can't stand Diana.
Oh, I am, like, done with her.
She's a child.
Oh, my gosh. So it started off, I think it was an actual separate scene where Erica was talking to Sutton about the issue with Diana. And she was basically telling Sutton to, like, give Diana the benefit of the doubt. And I was like, why the hell should Diana be given the benefit of the doubt? Like, when is Sutton going to be given the benefit of the doubt? And then Sutton's trying to explain her position. She's like, dude, I told her about my miscarriages and she, like, absolutely dismissed me and mocked me. And Erica's like, no, don't worry about that. Brush it off. Try again. You just have to keep trying. And it's like, excuse me, are you listening to what she's saying?
Mm-hmm.
She's actually conveying, like, something very serious.
Just, like, think about the lens that Diana sees everything through with Sutton or anyone that she actually finds to be competition or intimidating. Because I'm starting to think that Diana actually finds Sutton to be her competition.
Because
I think Sutton is richer than Diana, or just as rich, and actually has wealthy friends and connections, whereas Diana just, like, sues people that she doesn't agree with and gets her money that way.
I thought Diana was, like, the wealthiest person on the show.
No.
But where does Sutton get her wealth from? Like, doesn't she just, like...
Her divorce.
Yeah, but I don't think it's in the 250 millions.
Well, anyway. So, Sutton... the lens that Diana's looking at it from is, like... Sutton tried to relate and say, I had two miscarriages. And Diana just keeps saying, what? So, you're just going to raise me two? Or you're going to raise me one? Like, that's not... She's trying to relate to you, Diana. Why are you seeing it as an attack? I think Diana is deeply insecure.
Yeah. And unhinged
mm-hmm.
and immature.
Yeah.
Like, she can't even take a moment to take a step back and be like, okay, what is this person saying to me? Can I hear them? Can I empathize and try to understand their perspective? Mm-hmm. It's like the wall has gone up. She absolutely will not hear anything that's contrary to her position. Mm-hmm. She is so immature in the way she goes about it. She's so hypocritical. Like, she's like complaining that Sutton's fake. And then the next minute she's being, like, that was the fakest hug I've ever given in my life.
Yeah, and she's like, if you can't see that, then you have some real problems. And it's like, you just got mad at Sutton for being phony.
Yeah. And, like, why are you being fake? Like, if you want to convey how you really want to feel, then fucking convey it. Like, why put on this show? It doesn't make any sense. And Sutton was actually, like, taking accountability. Like, she apologized. She was trying mm-hmm. to see where she was coming from. She tried to explain while also taking accountability. And there was just absolutely no reception on the other side of the table. Mm-hmm. And it was infuriating to watch.
It was really frustrating to watch,
for sure. I wanted to throw, like, a glass of wine right in her face. And I was just, like, getting secondhand rage.
I want to know the true feelings of everyone in that cast rewatching that.
Right?
Back.
I know. Like, are they still not seeing Sutton's perspective? Like, look at this, how this woman is behaving. Mm-hmm. She's acting like a child.
Absolutely.
And then it ends with, like, Sutton going on how she's like, you know what? I'm smart, I'm witty, and I'm actually a really good friend. And Diana's like, so you say.
And she's then like, Sutton's this, like, I know. So you say.
This I know.
So you say.
This I know.
Then it went on for so long. Then it was silent. No, then it was silent and Sutton goes again. This I know. That was so frustrating because they showed it in the preview.
Yeah.
And then they showed the actual scene and you had to listen to that twice.
So many times.
It was too much.
Oh my gosh, these women.
But we're not really seeing much of Rinna. And recently, Rinna posted a story that said, fuck you, Bravo. How dare you only give one episode to my mom's passing?
Yeah.
So she seems pretty upset.
Yeah. She's like, why can't you share my grief kind of thing? Like, Lois was owed more. And I do agree that, like, they really did brush over that really quickly. Mm-hmm. They've got so much footage of Lois through the years. Like, to even, like, put a little segment in there at the end, like...
Totally.
Kind of a tribute. Like, this is a tribute to Lois, and then put, like, a whole bunch of scenes or something. Like, I do agree with her that they really have brushed over that. And it is interesting. It would be interesting for me, at least, to see her process that and see mm-hmm. how she goes through that. But instead, they're focusing on fucking, so you say, this I know. I can't.
Seems like next week we see the return of Kathy as yes. a friend.
Do you think she got fake teeth?
Yes.
Okay.
They definitely look like dentures or veneers.
They do. But on Instagram, someone pointed that out and she's like, I'm just smiling big. It's like, I don't think so.
No.
Yeah. So that was Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. We could also talk about Real Housewives of Dubai or Southern Charm, but I don't know. There wasn't anything that was that important to talk about. So maybe we'll leave those for next week, because obviously Southern Charm is going to culminate in this Vanita Madison birthday dinner, which is going to blow up. So we can rehash that next week.
Yeah, there wasn't anything memorable, TBH.
All right. Well, we'll be back again next week for our last in-person pod.
Don't say that. Don't. I'm not ready.
But we'll be back in any event.
Yeah.
Okay, we're gonna go finish our fries. Love you.
Bye.